Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm PJ Brandymarty from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Britt Taylor and Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte. Hello, bros.
Hey, PJ. Hey. Good to be with you today.
I'm glad that somebody thinks it's good to be with me.
Yay.
Oh, well, welcome to the Seminarian Show. We are seminarians at the Pontifical College Josephinum, and we're here to talk about various things in the Catholic life. Before we begin, I'd like to ask Alfonso to start us off with a prayer. Alfonso.
Definitely, PJ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty and most merciful God, grant that by the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, we may be enlightened and strengthened for your service. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Excellent. So today we're going to talk about the anointing of the sick. This is a sacrament that I never really had much experience with until last year.
Really, PJ?
The three of us were assigned to the hospital ministry.
That's right, yes.
And we had a lot of experience with anointing of the sick. Not that we were doing it. We were not doing the anointing of the sick, but we were
calling... Little disclaimer to
yes,
the show.
Yes, we are not incurring canonical impediments. So if you know what that means...
For that.
That's a bonus. But we were calling one of the priest chaplains at the hospital frequently in order to anoint the sick, and it really... really was able to see the power that's in the sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about the anointing of the sick and some of the things around it, and hopefully by the end we will have a better handle on what we're dealing with. So, as always, with everything Catholic, we are going to look at Scripture, because Scripture and tradition are what define our faith. So, when it comes to the anointing of the sick, we can find this directly in Scripture in James 5, 14 to 15. And it states, "Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." So that's a pretty powerful... sometimes in Scripture, the sacraments in a moderately indirect way,
mm-hmm.
but this is a very direct...
Yeah, it's pretty explicit, PJ.
Yeah, it's essentially what the rite of anointing is now. Is someone sick? Pray over him, and he'll be healed spiritually, and his mm-hmm. sins will be forgiven.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get past that, especially if you're if you come from a fundamentalistic perspective. It's like, how do you reconcile that with what is being practiced today in your church?
Yeah, absolutely. We can go further. We can see what the Catechism has to say. The beauty of the church really is that everything we believe can be at the very least summarized in the Catechism. It's just a wonderful gift that was given to us by Pope Saint John Paul the Great. So if we look at paragraph 1499 in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it starts the reading on the anointing of the sick. I'm just going to pick out a couple things that I found that seem to be especially important. The Catechism reminds us that Christ is the divine physician. So he is healing us both body and soul, no matter what. All healing comes from him. Our spiritual healing, we talked about in our last show, the sacrament of confession.
Right.
And we see how we can get the spiritual healing through that. And I think, Alfonso, last time when you were hosting, you even brought up that confession... in confession, the priest is acting in the person of Christ as a physician.
That is exactly right, PJ, because as we recall from the last show, the priest is communicating grace to the penitent, and what grace effectively does is it heals the soul from the effects of sin wounds and hurts the soul. That grace restores and heals what was good in the soul, and the priest is the medium for that.
Exactly, and the anointing of the sick goes a little bit further in that we're not only are we definitely healing the soul, but we're asking the divine physician to bring healing on the person's body as well. So now that we know what anointing of the sick is, let's talk about what it does. So practically, before we do that, let's go around. Have you guys ever been anointed?
No, I've never been anointed, but my mother's been in the hospital and I've seen it done. It's quite powerful, especially, you know, and consoling, even if it's not being done to you, if it's just being done to your family member, it's still a very consoling effect.
Absolutely.
Had you asked this question last year, this time, I would have to say no. But since then, I've actually been anointed twice. At the beginning of the summer, I got my wisdom teeth out. So one of the instances that the church allows you for you to be anointed is before any surgery, whether it's major or minor. Depending on who you ask, if you ask me, I think it was a very major surgery, having my wisdom teeth out. My parents might say it was pretty minor. It was just a little snip here or there, a little injection of some anesthesia and all that good things. But I say I have officially been under the knife. It's a traumatic experience for me. I ask that you please respect that and deal with me that I have been under the knife. But more recently, it was actually just last week. I actually missed the confession show because I was out with a pretty serious antibiotic reaction. Turns out I'm allergic to penicillin, which is always a fun experience when you go to the doctor and they say, "What brings you in here today?" And you say, "I think I'm allergic to this medicine." And then you show them the reactions and they immediately go, "Oh my gosh, not really what you want to hear from a doctor who's right. trained in the medical field to be, oh my gosh, that is really bad and you might die." So I had a number of that happened on about four different occasions, which was not very comforting at the time. And they were saying that this reaction could develop into more serious where your windpipe could kind of swell up and all that. Not going too much into the details, that was a fun experience. So I got back home from one of the doctor trips and emailed my spiritual director, Father Kelly, up at the Josephinum and said, "Father, just so it's on your radar, I'm having this reaction and the doctors are kind of worried. I don't know how worried I should be. So just to be safe, can I go ahead and have everything associated with the anointing of the sick, which is the anointing itself, but also confession. Those two are very intrinsically tied together, as well as communion to bring that further healing." So I was actually in our chapel with Father Kelly, and he anointed me, and it's actually took me right back when PJ was reading the scripture. That's the words that are actually in the rite itself. If there's any sick among you, send for the priest of the church. And it took me right back to the rite. Father Kelly anointed me, and really what you're doing with this anointing is you're receiving the anointing, it's not some magical hocus pocus that the church believes that, oh, by smearing this oil on your open wounds, you're going to be healed because of it. No, it's really the grace to overcome this both spiritually and mentally and physically, have all those aspects come together. And that's why the rite ties these sacramental signs into what the church teaches. And in just to further prove that it's not just this magic hocus pocus, that there's actually some merit to it as well. Part of the rite, you're actually praying for the doctors, which I think is often overlooked. Mm-hmm. You're not just doing this to heal the wounds themselves. You're actually praying for all the medical field professionals who have either looked at you before or might look at you in the future. Or in my first instance where I was being anointed for surgery, it's to guide the surgeon's hands and make sure that they are performing to the best of their ability, that they're not having a sick day and like, oh yeah, whatever, I'll just phone this one in. That you're praying for all of them and that they are performing to the best of their ability. So PJ, you've been anointed?
I have. Just like you, up until this summer, I'd never been anointed despite I probably should have been anointed a couple times. But I always thought anointing of the sick, even when I started seminary, was for I'm literally on death's door. And I thought, because I always associated anointing of the sick with what so many people, especially not non-Catholics, but even Catholics, even very committed Catholics, refer to as the last rites. Mm-hmm. And so to me, anointing of the sick was, I'm dying. I need to get this sacrament before I die. I got to get my spiritual punch card checked off so I can get into heaven.
Well, it's sacramental bingo.
If you get
the five in a row, you get into heaven immediately.
That is
put an asterisk by that one. We will make sure that that is
Britt's,
accurate.
Britt's theological opinion.
Okay. Yes. I'm getting some blowback.
This is not magisterial teaching.
No, it's not. It is not.
But so I never asked for it before, even though I probably probably should have, but I had a very serious issue with my ankle. I have an old wrestling injury that every couple years just flares up, and it was to the point where I couldn't walk, and lacking the financial resources necessary to have elective surgery to get this issue done, I was just kind of sitting on the couch at my parish assignment because I literally couldn't move. And my pastor came up and said, "I'm going to anoint you." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." Mm-hmm. And I was shocked by the reaction I had, which was both a very spiritual, I felt like I could feel the spirit dwelling within me, as well as I did feel a little better. Now, I'm not claiming any miraculous healing effect, but at the same time, I mean, the power of grace is real, and there is real grace bestowed in the sacrament. Mm-hmm. So, you're listening to the Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm PJ Brandy Marty from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Britt Taylor and Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte, and we are talking about the anointing of the sick. Now, Britt, a couple minutes ago, we were talking about the rite itself, and I want to go back to that because I feel like most Catholics, myself included, we know the Mass really well. We go to Mass, we grew up with Mass, and we know what's going on. But for so many of the sacraments, such as baptism, such as matrimony, but especially anointing of the sick, we know, we have a rough idea. I think most Catholics would say that they know that baptism is, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen." And on the same token, I'd say most Catholics would probably recognize a priest saying, "Through this holy anointing," and then continuing the rite as the anointing of the sick. Mm-hmm. But while that is the constitutive element, would be the technical term, but like the core part, the absolutely necessary part of the sacrament, there's so much more to the rite, and the rite itself is just beautiful. Britt, you were talking about the variations in the rite. Could you talk about that a little bit more?
Maybe just going over the general backbones and the structure of the rite itself might give a little bit clarification than if you wanted to ask a little bit more and dig into the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just happen to have the rite of the anointing of the sick open in front of me here. And it's beautiful. The church, every one of the church's liturgical prayers incorporates the elements that we expect it to incorporate. It incorporates a welcoming prayer. It incorporates the scriptures, and it incorporates the sacrament itself. So in the standard anointing of the sick, the priest will greet the person and everybody with them. He will read a scripture reading. Mm-hmm. And now this is cool. Generally, if the person's conscious, the priest will hear that person's confession, or at the very least offer to hear their confession if they're conscious of mortal sins. Mm-hmm. Now, if the person is not conscious, and this is why only a priest or a bishop and not a deacon can perform the anointing of the sick, because the sacrament itself, if the person is unable to make a confession, as we heard earlier in the scripture, the sacrament itself forgives your sins. Mm. Which is so powerful.
That's very comforting.
It's very comforting.
Yeah.
So even if I'm unconscious and I'm lying in the hospital, and a priest is summoned because I have my little wallet card or my thing on my wrist that says I'm a Catholic, please call a priest. Mm-hmm. When I'm anointed, I am put back right with God. I'm spiritually healed as well as being asked to be physically healed. Mm-hmm. So the rite itself follows the confession, if there is confession, and the rite is so beautiful. So the priest anoints two parts of your body. He anoints your head, and he anoints your hands. When he anoints your head, he says, "Through this holy anointing, may the Lord in his love and mercy help you with the grace of the Holy Spirit." And then when he leans forward and anoints your hands, he says, "May the Lord who frees you from sin save you and raise you up." And those words, it's a very short rite. It's very simple, but I can't imagine words of more profound grace than that. Having been able to experience it myself, I just felt overwhelmed with the love and the grace of God in that moment. And then, just as in so many things, once the anointing is over, we say the Our Father, and the priest prays another prayer. And he prays a prayer, as Britt was saying, for various types of people. So there are there's a prayer if you're being anointed before surgery. There's a prayer if you're a child, if it's somebody who's in advanced age, of extreme illness, of extreme injury. There's so many prayers asking God to intervene in the way that we need to intervene. And then, as with everything, the church welcomes us in liturgy and sends us back out, and the rite concludes with a dismissal.
PJ, if I could highlight a point from one of those prayers.
Please.
And I think something that Brett mentioned is really one of the emphasis on the prayers is that the person receiving the prayer, or the person receiving the rite, receive the grace of perseverance through this difficult moment, mm-hmm. right? And so I think that really embodies how Catholics we view suffering. You know, we view suffering as something as we take head on for the love of Christ, and not something that we, you know, shy away from, but something that we, you know, we grasp onto. We embrace our cross in a sense, and we can only do that because of the love of Christ, because he sustains us and because he gives us the grace to persevere. And in a sense, the sacrament provides that so that we can, you know, endure whatever we have to endure for our own good and for our own sanctification. So I think I think it really beautifully encompasses that reality of how, you know, we're to approach suffering.
Right. And Alfonso, you were saying earlier about the fundamentalist looking at this Bible scripture, the scripture passage about
right.
how could you possibly deny the sacrament that
exactly.
our Lord doesn't want this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now, both you and I are from the Diocese of Charlotte down
sure.
in North Carolina. That
yeah.
for those of you who don't know where that is, that's down in the Bible Belt where mm-hmm. where we say, y'all, we drink sweet tea and we eat deep fried food that probably makes us more open to being anointed more frequently.
Yeah, you're probably going to.
That's anointed many times.
We'll be in the hospital a little bit more often. So now, is this sacrament available to anyone baptized? Do you have to be Catholic? Or can you just go in there and be like, hey, can I get me one of them anointing things that them Catholics do to where I can go up to heaven?
No, so the sacrament presumes someone who's been baptized. It's for baptized Catholics.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the only sacrament that somebody who isn't baptized can receive is baptism, because baptism is the sacrament that initiates one into the sacramental life.
So you have to be Catholic to receive this sacrament?
In general, yes. However, there are limited circumstances where okay. somebody could manifest a desire.
Well, and then also, you know, canon law makes kind of exceptions for cases of death. And if you're sick, then obviously sometimes they're, you know, you're closer to death. So
indeed. And that's mm-hmm. a lot of times that's somebody who's asking for that. The priest who answers that call will know what to do in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and actually that probably comes about, very frequently for military chaplains, you know, who are out mm-hmm. in war, and you have a soldier, you know, who's on the field and he's dying, and there's a, you know, the priest is there ministering. So for the good of this person who's dying, then he can administer the sacrament.
Yeah, priests as ministers of mercy are generally pretty liberal with the distribution of such mercy.
Exactly.
But that actually brings up a really important point. When should you ask for anointing of the sick? Mm-hmm. As I said before, I thought it was when I'm ready to go, when I'm on my deathbed. But it turns out that is actually probably the worst time to ask for the sacrament.
Right. And you don't know the day or the hour, you know?
No.
So you want to take advantage of the sacrament. I mean, you want to, you know, receive its benefits.
Yeah. Especially after living with priests and actually being in the rectory at 4 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, mm-hmm. when you get that phone call that somebody's been in an accident and they're needed at the hospital to anoint somebody. Mm-hmm. It really makes you appreciate what the priests are available for. But priests, especially in this diocese, I can speak for the priests that I know, they're always available and they're very happy to come out whenever it's necessary. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the circumstances of life can be as difficult for priests as they are for other people. So if you are sick, if you're injured, and it doesn't have to be a bodily sickness, if it could be a mental sickness, psychological, if you're depressed, mm-hmm. That could be a wonderful gateway to God's mercy. Just meeting with a priest, talking to him, asking to be anointed. But really, if you're sick, and I'm not talking to Cole, but like if you have a sickness, if you have an illness, if you have advanced age, if you have any type of ailment, I highly recommend you avail yourself of this wonderful, wonderful sacrament. It will just fill your life with so much grace, and it allows you a great position mm-hmm. With God, so that he can, I think it was Alfonso, you were speaking of a value of suffering and how our Lord tells us we always have to carry our cross.
That's right.
And I think in this sacrament, God is not offering to carry it for us, but God is kind of picking us up and walking with us, exactly. Especially in the grace of the sacrament.
Exactly. And you know, PJ, I was just reminded of something. I watched this video of this, one of the Dominican Sisters of Nashville on theology of the body. And she talks about how the human person, whenever they experience a touch of affection, especially if they're experiencing pain, like if they're in the hospital and they're experiencing extreme pain, that the husband holding the hand of the wife actually alleviates the pain neurologically in the brain. And so the human person is kind of wired to have this physical contact, to have a sense of relief of pain. And it's just so interesting how the sacraments are tangible, realities in which our Lord, in a sense, reaches out to us to alleviate our pain. So it fits perfectly with how God designed us.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that's what you feel when you have your palms out and you are at one of your weakest moments and you don't think that there's any light at the end of this tunnel, that there's no way anyone's going to be able to pull you out. When the priest rubs the oil on your hands, which is consecrated at the Chrism Mass, so it's really coming from the bishop himself. Mm-hmm. As they're rubbing that oil on your hands, you feel our Lord himself is rubbing that oil, and he's binding your wounds himself, because that's what oil was used for in our Lord's times, that it was really about curing for wounds and everything associated with healing. And you feel like he is the one who is there, who's saying it's going to be okay, come follow me. And really, you get this sense of hope, and you don't fall into despair, and you have this newfound energy to persevere. And if I can just make it one more day, it'll be mm-hmm. fine. I've got this newfound strength that's going to carry me through, because I know I'm not in this alone, which happens so often, and not just within our own, whenever we're sick. And I mean, this is including colds, but also what PJ was talking about with the psychological issues. So much of those, the roots feel that you're just lost and you're alone. And that's why our Lord gives us these sacraments, is to remind us that we're not alone, that he is here with us. And that's why it's really incarnational, that our Lord became man so that he could experience everything that we experience in our own lives throughout our daily struggles. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about anointing, but another thing is, look at the crucifix. Every suffering that you experience in your life has been experienced in its fullness there on the cross by our Lord, by the creator of the world himself.
Absolutely. Well, we've been talking today about the anointing of the sick. We talked about what it is, talked about what it does. We talked about when you can ask for it. We're coming to the end of our show, And I'd like to ask Britt to close us in prayer.
Sure. So let's begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for the gift of all your sacraments, especially the anointing of the sick. We ask that you continue to pour forth your graces and be with us at all of our moments of despair so that we may not become despondent. We ask that you continue to pour forth all your blessing upon all the listeners who might be undergoing some sort of illness. And we ask this through with the intercession of your mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace,
the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Once again, I am PJ Brandimarty here with Britt Taylor and Alfonso Gomez, seminarians from the Josephinum. Thanks for joining us for today's Seminarian Show. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. in the audio archives and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thank you very much for joining, and until next time, God bless you.
God bless.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.